I'm hoping that we can just go ahead now and pray before the Lord, give everything over to Him. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing today. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. And thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the work done on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord God, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of our lives daily, teaching us, showing us, and revealing your will, your purpose and plan, helping us to change, O Lord God, to get to that place where we actually get to that higher ground, Lord God, where we begin to change from the inside. We see the things that we need to do, the change of mind and the change of heart. O Lord God, that we could see and to know and to clearly understand, O Lord God, how that we should live and obey your word, helping us, O Lord, to come up higher, helping us, O Lord God, to be more dedicated and upright, steadfast, to be holy and to be pure. O Lord God, and I pray that you would continue to do that work in each and every one of our lives today, leading and guiding and directing, touching us by the Holy Ghost. We give it all over to thee now, Lord God, all our will, our mind, emotions, our whole life, that we just give it over to thee, Lord God, that you could use us as you will. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. We also pray the Holy Ghost to be here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint the service. Be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, I guess I would like to start out tonight, and I'll wait. Shirley's almost there. I hope that we can go to number, well, let me change my mind on that and go to another one. Let's go to 101 in the course. Faith can move mountains. I know that we haven't sung that in a long, long time. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to catch myself. Okay, let's start over, if you will. Faith can move mountains, number 101. Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Praise God. It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to hope and trust. It takes faith to step out and walk in faith, trusting God for the outcome. Amen. It really does. We all need that greater faith. Number 111 in the course, I shall know him. I shall know him. And as redeemed by his side, I shall stand. You know, there's a lot of people out there who walk around. They think they know God. They go to church. They even pay tithes. But they don't know God's nature. They don't know his will. Many have never submitted completely to the Lord. Many have never surrendered. And that's a tragic thing today. You know, it takes more than surrender, though. It takes a heart that is ablaze for Christ. It takes a heart that loves God and is willing to do whatever it takes to know him. Amen. So, one of the ways that we can know that we know him is if we can love him. If you love the Lord, that's wonderful, but how do you love the Lord? By obedience to his word. That's how. If you want to know him, walk in obedience. Amen. Let's go there. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the touch of his nail prints in his hands. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the touch of his nail prints in his hands. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know each of his nail prints in his hand. Amen. Praise God. Well, forgive me for the silence. I'm just trying to hear from the Lord. That's all. Maybe we can go to 125 now. Shut in with God. You know, I think we all need to be encouraged. Amen. We all need to be encouraged. You know, one word from somebody can change the course and destiny in someone's life. A smile from someone's face can encourage a child to become something that he had been so discouraged to even dare to step out forth or even dare to try. But yet, that encouraging word, encouragement is a lost art today. Encouragement to help people move onward and upward is sadly missing today. Very few people know how to encourage. You know, I'm reminded of this general in the Army, Civil War, and he was so discouraged from even moving on. His name was Ulysses S. Grant. He was belittled, put down, ridiculed, otherwise ignored by his superior generals. He had been kind of a misfit in a way and was on the verge of even being arrested. And he nearly quit the army. And then one day, an old friend of his came along and sat down next to him, got off his horse, put his sword in the ground, sat down and talked to Ulysses S. Grant. His name was General Sherman. And said, "Don't give up," because he was once at that very same spot. He was once there. He understood, because he almost quit himself. But he gave him an encouraging word, telling him, "Wait, don't give up. Some good big event is going to happen, and you're going to get your chance." Only 2 weeks later, there his superior general, I forget his name now, was called up to Washington, D.C., giving Ulysses S. Grant full charge of the army, which enabled him to lead this army to 5 to 7 major battles, victories. And Ulysses S. Grant went down as one of the great generals in the Civil War. Many of these men were God-fearing men. Most of them were God-fearing. But I want to encourage people today, when you're shut in with God, sometimes you're not going to receive an encouraging word from people, but you can receive an encouraging word from the Lord almost every day. Sometimes you're going to even receive reproof or correction or chastisement, which is good. It's better to hear from God anything than nothing. And when you get shut in with God, there's nothing more important than to hear His voice. So, if we could go there and to sing that song, "Shut In With God." Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. One more time. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Praise God. Oh, there is hope. People would just seek the Lord and do the right thing. There's hope. Amen. Try to make your life to line up with the Word of God. And I think it's important, if you have odd against someone, to go to that person, square things up, make things right. If you have issues with relatives, friends, neighbors, get things right. Keep a short leash on things. Don't hang on to things that are going to drag you down. Because if you do, you're only hurting yourself. And that's the truth. We all need that greater insight into the purpose and plan of what the Lord is looking to do in our lives. And it's far greater than we can see beyond our own nose. So let's not look down on someone. Let's look up. Let's look around. Look within. Look to Christ. Because there's not much time left. We all need to change. There's very little time left. The day is at hand. Night is coming when no man will be able to work. And as in Jeremiah talks about, and we're not saved. Many are not saved. How we really need all of us, everyone online, here, everywhere, must look in the mirror, must look at ourselves. That's where the change begins. Right there, in the mirror, each person. If that were to happen, just imagine what things God can do. You might even smile a little bit more. We might even greet each other with a friendly greeting and a handshake or a smile. You just never know how far that can go. Praise God. So, what I want to encourage people to do is to leave all those things, those hang-ups, at the foot of the cross. Leave it all behind. Leave it there. Let's go to 135. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. One more time. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to get to that place in my life where when I pray, I feel that peace and joy and victory. You know, some people, when they pray or they make suggestions, when they talk to the Lord, they're so in tune with the Lord that they might make a suggestion to the Lord. Lord, I wished I had that. Pretty soon, a half hour later, knock, knock, knock on the door. And there the Lord answered their prayer. You know, I'm reminded of Pastor David, who had that very thing happen to him. Story goes where he was one day at his desk and how he was seeking the Lord and just kind of praying. Just sort of mentioned to the Lord that, Lord, I wished I had an organ just to kind of pounce around on my fingers and play, you know, play with a little bit. And a half hour later, knock on the door at Faith House. Here this man answer, comes to the door, pastor comes to the door, and this man is right there and says, do you need an organ? He could hardly believe that he had just finished praying. No longer had he just been talking to the Lord about it a half hour earlier, and here a knock on the door with a man and a son willing to bring that organ that they already had in the truck, going to bring it to the door. Set it up for him. You need any help? No, I got my son. You're busy. You're busy. You just keep doing what you're doing, and my son and I will bring this in for you. Amazing. That's the kind of prayer I want to get to. How about you? I want that kind of walk. And we can have it when we're truly shut in with God and we leave all those hang-ups behind and we get to that place where we live holy before God and we trust God and we walk in faith and we don't give up and you keep a forgiving heart. Loving those around you. The Lord will hear your prayers. But we need to clean our lives. Make sure that our lives are clean. Above reproach. Living holy before God. Don't entertain sin in your thoughts or in your mind or in your heart. Give it over to the Lord. Amen. So, with that, I think we're just going to take up our collection real quickly, and then we'll give this over to Shirley. Amen. Well, if anybody has anything that they would care to share, please feel free to raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and just pray for the offering, and we'll give this over to Shirley. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for these tithes, gifts, offerings. Pray that you'd bless it abundantly. Bless the giver. I pray, Lord, that you would be here tonight with thy spirit, with thy power, the Holy Ghost, the blood of Christ to cover us, O God. It surely brings forth a message tonight. I pray that you would anoint the message, that you would help her, give her the words and the insight, bless the message, anoint it. This I pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. Praise God. And Shirley's going to be up here in just shortly here in a minute. She's in the restroom. Is there anything that anybody would care to share or at all? Okay. Well, Shirley's coming now. Praise God. I guess that's it. Shirley, is it all yours? And you're all ready.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, I am. Thank you. Wow. Praise the Lord. My favorite thing. I'm sure I don't have it just right. Okay, maybe. Praise the Lord. It's really beautiful to see everybody here tonight. I know we're just us couple here, but God is here. And that is so dear. That is so wonderful to know that the Lord is with us. I know all of you online too. I wish I could see your faces, but I'm so thankful that you're with us here tonight. And I just want to say we're missing Anna here tonight. She got up very, very early today, and Sam drove her down to Milwaukee because she went to be with her older sister, Ruth, who's... she's expecting her third child, and her amniotic fluid broke, and it's way too early, and there's a lot of things we don't know what will happen, but we're believing God, and I've been able to talk with Ruth and encourage her, and she, you know, she's just saying the baby's heartbeat is very strong at this point. At least the last time I talked to her, it was very strong, and we don't know what's going to happen, but we do believe in miracles. And I'm just so thankful. So she's going to need help with her younger children, her older children. Her youngest one is only like, maybe 22 months or so. And quite a handful, of course, at that point when you're just about two. So she does need a little help, that's for sure. If you would pray for Ruth, she does need the Lord in so many ways, and I believe the Lord's using this to help her, and I told her that too, that, you know, God uses things like this to bring us closer to Him sometimes so we can see the full picture, and so we can get right with the Lord, and you know, all those things, and sometimes he does it even to show us His mighty power and His ability to rescue us, even in the deepest, darkest moments in our lives. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've been with us, God. We thank you for your mighty hand, Lord, the power that's in your blood, Lord, and the authority that's in your word, Lord Jesus. And God, we just ask that you would be here, Lord, and oh, God, that you'd move the mountains and to be moved in our lives. God, and I pray that you talk to our hearts, God, that you talk to our souls, Lord, that you do something in us, Lord, so that we'd be profitable servants, Lord, so we can stand before you one day and hear you say, well done, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that you would talk to us. Oh God, and that your peace would be here, and oh God, that your presence would be here, Lord, that you would touch us, God. Oh Lord, that you'd move the mountains that need to go, Lord. Oh God, give us that kind of faith that we need, oh Lord, to live for you, Jesus, and to live that abundant life. Oh God, we just pray. We bring it all to you in Jesus' name, asking you to bind every contrary spirit and every work of darkness and everything that would try to hinder us. Lord, that your word might go forth, Lord. Oh God, that it might give us all what we have need of from you here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Could I just ask somebody to bring me that water that's over there?
Yeah.
Oh, our God is good. Oh, thank you.
Sure.
Wow, as much as we need that natural water, we sure need the living water, don't we?
Amen.
Oh my, we need that living water that comes from God. And there's no hope without it, really. We must have it. Tonight we're going to go to Jeremiah 11. And I would like it to be called The Broken Covenant, along with Jeremiah 11, if we could also title it The Broken Covenant. And this chapter does deal with God's covenant that he had made with his chosen people, and of course we know what happened. They broke it. They didn't do well at all keeping that first covenant at all. And so here, this chapter really deals with it. We can go there now to Jeremiah 11. Okay, we're going to begin by just reading a little bit of it first portion of scripture here, and verse 1 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do them according to all that I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, O Lord." Okay, here we are. The Lord is again talking to Jeremiah the prophet, and we're told that it's the word of the Lord coming from God Almighty to Jeremiah, his servant. And here it is in verse 2. It says, "Hear ye the words of this covenant." And he's telling him what to do. He's telling him to speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he's got some specific instructions here. And God is just telling him again, like, you know, he's been telling him all along. And, you know, Jeremiah had a very tough assignment. There's nothing easy about what Jeremiah had to do. He had to address unbelieving people, even though they knew, they should have known who the Almighty God was, who the living God was. They were far from believers. They're far from it. And you know, I know Brother Tim gave me a book just a little earlier this evening, and it's titled Why Revival Tarries. And I was just looking at it just briefly. It has some pictures in it. And it talked about, one of the titles was about believers who don't believe. And, you know, that's just way too true these days. This book was written in 1959, and you know what? It's not terribly long ago. Yes, it's plenty of years, but, you know, people used to cry out to the Lord. People used to get down on their knees. People used to run to the altars and cry out to the Lord and ask for mercy and ask for strength and ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It used to happen. I remember some of those times. You know, after every service in my youth, almost always people came to the altar, or this front part of the church. They almost always came to the altar, and it wasn't just for 2 seconds either. There was a crying out. People prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? I did see the greatest revivals that I had hoped to see in my life back then, but I do remember a space of time. I think maybe this revival, because we did have special services from time to time, I think maybe this one was 5 or 6 weeks. And, I'm not sure if 30, 40 people received the Holy Ghost. It was a beautiful time in the Lord, but we were crying out. Before it started, we were crying out. I prayed all night prior to that revival, I and a few other people. We just got down on our knees. It was camp meeting time, and we knew there was going to be revival services once we got back home. And it was in our heart to spend that night crying out to the Lord. And you know what? God heard us. God hears people. If people would only cry out and surrender their lives and hearts to the Lord and believe Him, God will do great things. I mean, He is a prayer answering God. He does hear the cries of His people. I know the other day, I had pain in my hand right in this area here. I've not had that pain before. And Brother Tim prayed for me. You know what? It completely left. It completely left. It just went away. And you know, there's just been other times God has just miraculously done an instant answer to prayer. And that's the way of it. You know, when we believe Him, when we live according to His Word, and when it's in our heart, God does hear. He does answer prayer. And He's so concerned. You know, that's His nature. Amen. To hear prayer and to answer it, to intervene in our lives and to change us. That's His good pleasure. He sees pleasure in doing that. He wants to do good things for His people. And the children of Israel had a great opportunity to serve the Lord. And if they would only have kept the covenant, if they only would have done what God had asked them to do, there would have been great, great blessings. The book of Deuteronomy specifies so many of the blessings that God had planned for His people. If only, if only, if only. But here it was. Here's the time of Jeremiah. And time has gone by, and people have fallen into snares, into pits, into traps, and they were worse than the heathens in many, many ways. And indeed, they had to be way worse because they had known. They had the law. They should have known. You know, they had opportunity. God had called them. He had wanted them to be their His particular, peculiar people. And, you know, they had just a grand opportunity, and His blessings were, abundant. Oh, abundant. And Lord willing, we will read some of them. But here, Jeremiah is to cry forth because the people have not kept covenant. They have not kept it. And a covenant, of course, is a binding agreement. And God had made this covenant with His people. If you will do this, I will do this for you. But He had expectations of His people. It wasn't just that He was just going to do it because they were a special nationality. No. They had obligations. There were expectations that the Lord had of them too. It was a covenant. It was an agreement. And there were two sides to it. But again, the Israelites hadn't done well. They hadn't done well. The 10 northern tribes had already been carried away. They'd already lost. And here it was time. The two southern tribes, those of Judah and Benjamin, actually, they should have known, you know, they should have observed what had happened when the Assyrians carried away their brothers and their sisters. You know, they should have observed this and realized God means business. And if I don't keep His laws, if I don't have His covenant in my heart, and if I don't abide according to His will, I'm going to get carried off too. Amen. But for some reason, it didn't catch them at all. They didn't take advantage of the warnings. And here it is. Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth for his people, but on the other hand, do up to his expectations. If they didn't do according to his will, they didn't keep the law, there was the other side, and those were cursings. There were cursings. And here it said, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your father that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the ironness, saying, obey my voice, and do them command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. How easily and quickly people forget. They had been under great bondage, great servitude to the Egyptian people. The Egyptians hadn't regarded them after the years went by. They were afraid that they were going to overwhelm them and overtake them. God had blessed them, and they were multiplying, and there were many of them. You know, there were 70 originally that came into the land of Egypt, but, you know, the years had went by. And now, oh, wow, the Egyptians were afraid that they were going to take advantage of them. And if, wow, there was a war or something, they would rise up against them. So they feared the Israelite people, and their way of subduing them was to put them in bondage and make them servants. And, you know, oh boy, they took advantage of these people dreadfully. They were tremendously afflicted. The Egyptians made them to serve with rigor, and it wasn't with mercy at all. We know the story, you know. They were to make bricks. They had to build the treasure cities for the Egyptians, Ramses and Pithom. And, you know, they took advantage of them and made them do all their hard labor. And then, you know, eventually, because, you know, it just seemed like it was too easy, somehow God was still blessing them. You know, they wouldn't even give them a straw for the bricks. And, you know, on and on it was. They were under hard bondage. And so easily they forgot, because God delivered them. He sent Moses forth to deliver them, to bring them out of Egypt. And what a glorious deliverance it was. But they had forgotten. They had forgotten all of this. And it was. It was like an iron furnace. Something is iron. It's hard. Cast iron pans are hard. We talk about an iron hand who serves rigorously, or like a dictator, or somebody, you know, who makes you serve without any of your emotions or feelings being considered. So here it is. God had brought them out from the iron furnace. But he told them, obey my voice and do them. It's not enough to hear. You have to do. You can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer also. According to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Let's just look at some of the promises of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7 here for a moment. If you look at verse 6 here, and of course, they're being told prior, and we've read some of these portions of scriptures in other studies. But here, verse 6 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And there were blessings, if we just look at verse 12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And look at this. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Oh my, they were to be, but God had expectations. We know they were told they were to destroy the altars of the heathen peoples. They were to break down their images. They were to cut down their groves. They were to burn the graven images with fire, as it says in verse 5 here in this chapter. But if they were faithful, if they did those things, God was going to bless them, in miraculous, fruitful ways. Let's also go to Deuteronomy 26 here. And let's just, let's look at verse 15 to begin here. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And let me just explain, this book of Deuteronomy, this is Moses speaking to the people, and he was speaking these words. He was kind of reviewing what had happened through their journeyings and all, and of course this was right before he was going to die. And so he was kind of trying to finalize all these things in their heart, and he wants it to be, you know, just very clear and relevant and you know, precise, and you know, he's just telling them so that they will know that they can be blessed by the Lord. So verse 17 says, thou hast vouched the Lord this day to be thy God. In other words, they had acknowledged. A vouch means to acknowledge or affirmed the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Oh, he wanted them to be his own peculiar treasure, and definitely not like the other people. The other people, the other nations were doing such disgusting things. They were engaged in such heathen God that were not, and just doing the abomination that God despised and hated. And God didn't want his people doing those things. He was trying to call out a people that would be special, that would be esteemed his, that would know his word and have it hidden in their hearts. Amen. He wanted them to be high above all nations, which he had made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Oh my, you know what? We too have been called forth, haven't we? We've been called forth also. I know 1 Peter, that second chapter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. And then I know it continues in that tenth verse. It talks about how we were not a people, but now are the people of God, and had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I mean, oh my, God has had compassion on us, and he called us out also out of the world that we might be his own chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, praise the Lord, what a privilege, what an honor. We had not been the people of God in the past. We're not a people, but are now the people of God, had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I mean, what God has done for us is a marvelous, wonderful work. And we too have to show forth the praises of God. And God has expectations of us likewise, doesn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's continue here in Jeremiah 11. So I notice, as we were reading verse 5 here in this chapter, Jeremiah's answer. Again, he's been given another assignment. And so he answered and said, so be it, O Lord. oh, that man, just very submissive. And it doesn't, you know, he's in trouble as we finish this chapter tonight. But let's see what the Lord does. It's a mighty thing. It's a wonderful thing how God is with his people. But then God is telling him what he wants him to do. He says in verse 6, "Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice." Oh, that was the call and cry of God. And we know they obeyed not. It says in verse 8, "Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not." Oh my. So here it is. God has asked Jeremiah to go through the streets of Jerusalem, through the cities of Judah, and proclaim the word of the Lord and tell them to obey my covenant. Obey my voice. God's calling it today. He called John the Baptist with an assignment too. Amen. John had to preach forth and tell the people to repent and to prepare their hearts. Mm-hmm. For the kingdom of God was at hand. He told them that. That was his assignment. And Jesus, also, he had his disciples going through the cities of Israel and Judea, preaching also and telling them that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. They were to go through all the cities and proclaim that. And likewise, do we have an assignment here tonight too? Are there people to call forth in this day and age that have rebelled against the precepts of God and have forgotten God, gone about their own ways? I mean, here there's a people that should have known. But God was protesting because they were not walking in the light that they had been given. Instead, they were walking, every one of them, it says in verse 8, in the imagination of their evil heart. Oh my, I fear that that's how it is today, that people just kind of listen to their own instinct, their own heart, and do whatever seems good to them, and don't listen, don't regard God's word. Wow, this country was largely based upon concepts that were based upon scripture.
Amen.
But wow, there's been a tremendous departure, and continuously, all the more so, people walking, every one of them, in the imagination of their evil heart, doing what pleases them as individuals, and what seems good to them. But God sees, God hears, God knows. There's nothing hidden from him. And he's going to send forth judgment on this world, just as he sent forth judgment on Old Covenant Judah. Let's also look at that covenant from Deuteronomy 29, if we can go there. Deuteronomy 29. Okay, here it is. And again, Moses is again, this is the book of Deuteronomy. So Moses is exhorting them. He certainly wants them to be right with the Lord. Let's look at verse 9 here. And he's reviewing some of the things that God did for them as they went through the wilderness. And now it's getting close to that time when they would enter into the promised land, into Canaan land. But yet it's going to be absolutely important that they keep the words of the covenant. Look at verse 9. "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of the water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. God was again bringing forth this covenant. Verse 13 says that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. They had that privilege of observing the heathen as they went through, and their abominations. And God is warning them here. Verse 18, thus there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it shall come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Oh boy, see, there it is. People thinking, that they could do things that pleased themselves, contrary to God, and still have peace, still be blessed. And so many people these days, it's the same thing. It's like people think that they can sin and get by. And you know what? I don't even think people half know what sin is anymore. You just hear people talking sometimes, and they, you know, they'll be talking about things they do that are absolutely wrong and forbidden by God, and think that they're all right, and think that they're not sinning. Oh, it's terrible, and think that God should bless them. But here it was with old Israel too. They were saying in their hearts, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Verse 20 says, the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord in his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Oh, there were severe penalties if he did not attain to the promises of God, if he did not serve the Lord. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abba, Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this or thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Oh boy, the people were going to look at them. Remember, we just read that God would keep away the sicknesses and the plagues that Egypt had been burdened with if they would only keep his covenant. God had promised them that. And he had promised to give them a land that was filled with milk and honey, a good land with plenty. But not if they didn't keep the covenant. And they were going to be despised by the nations. The nations were going to look at them and say, well, what has God done to them then? What's up with them? I thought they were blessed. What does this mean? But there was going to be an answer. In verse 25 is the answer. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed to belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Oh, the precious promises of God, even that he would reveal secret things to his people who keep his law and hide it in their hearts. But if they did not keep them, the word of the Lord, if they did not keep the law, if they did not keep the covenant, they would forsake the covenant. Then, oh my, God was going to reject them, and the curses were going to be brought upon them. Let's just look at a few of the curses, just so you know. Let's look at the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy here, just to give you a thought of what some of them would be. If you look at it talks about what would happen. If you look at verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou shalt be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Oh, my. And he goes on to name many things that would come upon them because other forsaking God. Verse 23 says, and the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, God wouldn't hear them anymore if they did not keep his law. And he was going to cause the enemies to smite them. If you look at verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Oh my, it just goes on. The consequences of them for having forsaken God. Very severe. But that's God. He meant what he had said. And those curses would be put upon them if they forsook his ways. Let's continue here in Jeremiah 11. And so we know that Jeremiah was to go out. The Lord was protesting, and Jeremiah was to bring them the word. And again, it wasn't an easy assignment by any means to go forth and preach to a rebellious people, people with hardened hearts that had forsaken God. But there he was, telling them to hear the words of this covenant and do them, to obey the voice of the Lord, to incline their heart unto God. And then, in verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. And the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. God is talking about a people that had conspired against him, that joined together to come against the Lord, even among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, his own people. doing the same iniquities that their forefathers had done when they had hardened their hearts, refusing to hear the words of the Lord, and had gone after other gods. And it mentions the house of Israel. Well, by this time, on Jeremiah's prophecy, they'd already fallen. The Assyrians had come in 721 and taken them away. They were carried off to all different areas of the world, actually. And the house of Judah was about ready to be carried off by the Babylonians. They have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. That broken covenant. And verse 11 says, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Oh, we read some of that in the scripture already. You know, what a terrible thing to cry unto the Lord and have him not hearken. Wow. That's a terrible position to be in. It's much better to hear rebuke from the Lord, as Brother Tim was bringing out earlier, or to be chastised, to be hear anything, but to be in trouble and know that you needed help, and yet the Lord will not hear because it's too late, because it's gone too far. People have hardened their hearts to such an extent that the rebellion is so great that God can no longer forbear, and His gentleness, His goodness, His mercy, oh, it's still there for a people that are genuine, that can truly surrender their hearts to the Lord. But old Israel at this point had gone far beyond God's mercy at this point, and God was about to bring forth His judgments. So verse 11 again, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Oh, we never want to be in that place where God will not hear us. Oh, we need the Lord more than anything else in this world. We need His help day by day. Without Him, we can do nothing. And we are just so limited in our own abilities. And so often, oh, there's needs and there's problems and there's distress. And to whom else could we go but the Lord? But what a terrible thing to cry out and not be heard. What a terrible position to be in. But this was old Israel at this point. This was the people of Judah. Verse 12 says, then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of the trouble. God had given them over to their own idols, their own devices, their own thinking. All of that, He just let them cry out to their own gods, knowing that they would not hear them or help them. But listen to this in verse 13. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods. They were just like the heathens. In heathen lands, most every city has a god that they revere and that they worship. And here, O Judah, they had, according to the number of thy cities, were thy gods. Each of their cities had a separate god, a heathen god, a deity. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal? Can you imagine that? On every street, it seemed that there were altars set up to Baal. They were burning incense unto Baal on the streets, setting up altars to do so with. Oh, what a horrible predicament. God had forbidden that. He had never wanted His people to fall into such a trap or snare. And again, it was late. It was very late. Verse 14 says, therefore pray not thou for this people. Oh, never want to hear God say, don't pray. Don't pray for this people. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry to me for their trouble. That is a horrible condition to be in. It is a horrible position to be in. If you cry out, you need help, and there is none to help you. Oh, dear Lord. Verse 15 says, "What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest." Oh my, God had wanted a holy seed. There had to be a holy seed. Jesus was going to come forth from a holy seed. And you know, God had established it. We know the story of how Cain slew Abel. Abel was a godly seed, and he was slain by his brother. And that God raised up Seth to carry on that bloodline so there would be a holy people. And then, you know, God saw Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and from Noah's bloodline came Shem. And on it was. We know that God called David out of the household of Jesse, and God was going to bring forth Jesus Christ from the seed of David. Amen. So that holy flesh, that holy seed, had to be preserved. But these people were so rotten. They were to be God's people. These were people of Judah. That holy seed was to come from them. But they had polluted that holy seed. They had despised it. And can you imagine this? When thou doest evil, thou rejoicest. People doing evil and rejoicing. Oh, it sounds horrible, but you know what? I think it's like that today. They'd lost their way. They'd lost their discernment. They didn't know right from wrong anymore. That's a horrible condition to be in. We've got God's word. It tells us what's right, and it tells us what's wrong. Besides, he puts the law in our heart when we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. So we need to know. But these people didn't know. They had so despised God and his law that they no longer knew what was right or what was wrong. When thou doest evil, thou rejoicest. Oh boy, that's a horrible condition. Verse 16 goes on to say, "The Lord calleth thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With a noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken." Okay, so they have been called a green olive tree, fair and of God, fair and of goodly fruit. That's the way it was. But because of the rebellion, because they despised the ways of the Lord, God was going to allow a great tumult to come upon them, a great uproar, commotion, riot, or whatever. He was going to bring it forth, and he had kindled fire upon it. That fire of his wrath was going to fall. He was going to allow the Babylonians to come in and take over and besiege the city and come in and burn it down. And the branches of it are broken. "For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal." Oh, they had broken the covenant. They had despised it. And God was going to bring forth judgment. Of course, you know, a wonderful thing happened. The Lord gave us opportunity. Amen. To be grafted in to that olive tree. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The 11th chapter of Romans so beautifully tells the story how we were grafted in so that we might be participants. Old Israel lost it. It tells us in Romans, the 11th chapter and the 20th verse, because of their unbelief. They were broken off, it says. Well, in verse 20, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Verse 22 here in Romans 11. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou shalt be cut off. But God allowed his people to be cut off. not that they couldn't be grafted in and not that they couldn't come to him. But he had concluded them all in unbelief. It tells us in the 32nd verse in this chapter that he might have mercy upon all. He allowed that unbelief to come in, and they were still, there were a remnant according to the election of grace that would come in. And it does tell us that blindness in part had happened to Israel so that the Gentiles might come in and be grafted into the covenant, the new covenant that Jesus Christ would bring forth. And it says, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. In verse 27, when I shall take away their sins. Oh, the Lord Jesus was so graciously going to bring forth a new covenant for his people, and it would include the Gentiles also, which was a beautiful opportunity for all of us to be included in the body of Christ. And oh my, the scripture just, oh, so beautifully. There's so much, oh boy, that could be said here tonight. I originally looked at this chapter and thought, oh my, this will, you know, this, you know, there's not that much. And I realized, oh my, there's so much in this chapter. It's really amazing. But God allowed, if we go to Ephesians, the second chapter, he allowed that partition that separated the Gentiles from the covenant to be broken down. Amen. So that we could all be partakers in the new covenant. Oh, it's so beautiful here in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers in the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, meaning both Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh my, that we could be partakers. What a beautiful thing. In verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord made us participants. He made us participants in the plan of God, in the new covenant, that wonderful new covenant that he brought forth, because the old one wasn't adequate, was it? It didn't do a job. It couldn't adequately take care of the sin problem, and they couldn't keep it. But the Lord made a provision, and he broke down that wall of partition to include us, who were Gentiles, who were strangers from the promises of God, the covenants. We had no hope, or we were without God in the world. We were strangers. We were aliens. We were called the uncircumcision. But God made us fellow heirs of his precious promises. And of course, verse 20 here in this chapter, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. It's both Jew and Gentile that God has called forth to be participants in his holy temple, that dwelling place of God, and a people for his temple, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation or a dwelling place or a temple of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord has done so much, his precious goodness and mercy to us, to call us. But old Israel did so much damage. And as we know, the Lord allowed Jeremiah to know, looking back here at Jeremiah 11, verse 18, "And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings." Oh, God was showing him. But Jeremiah was jeopardized. The people hated what he was doing. God had given him that assignment to go out and cry and tell the people to obey that covenant, get right, change your ways, all of that. But it says in verse 19, "But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." In other words, they were coming against Jeremiah, and they had their devices, and they were going to get rid of him. They were going to destroy the tree with the fruit there, and his lineage and all. They were going to cut him down so that he would be cut off from the land of the living. Oh, but it says here, "But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause." And God had mercy on Jeremiah. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is with his people. The Lord sees us in our time of trouble. When we're living for the Lord and doing his will, God sees us in our times of affliction, and he hears our cries. And God heard Jeremiah. Verse 21 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand." God was going to avenge him. It says in verse 22, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation." Oh, it was going to come, that judgment, and they were all going to be cut down. They were going to die one way or the other, by the sword or by famine or by whatever means the Lord would use. They were all going to die. And it says, no remnant of them. The men of Anathoth, that was his birth town. That was where he was born. That's where he did most of his prophesying. Anathoth, it had been a city of refuge. It was a city of the priests. It was close to Jerusalem, actually. But God was going to judge them for their wickedness and for what they had tried to do to Jeremiah, those evil devices that they had devised in their heart to do against him. But God didn't allow that. God stopped them. Oh, I think it's beautiful how God can preserve us, how God keeps his people, how he saves us, how he had mercy on us, and how he brought forth his new covenant. Oh, that we might be participants, that we might be fellow heirs, with the Jewish people. It's a beautiful thing what God did. You know, there it was, Jesus at Calvary. What was he doing there on the cross, suspended from heaven and earth in great anguish and pain? He was bringing forth a new covenant. He was bringing forth a people. He was allowing salvation to come. He was tearing down the enemy and destroying it and making it possible that we could be delivered, that we could be set free, that we could be fellow heirs with the Jewish people. What a beautiful thing it was at Calvary. When Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished," it meant that he had completed the plan, that he had taken upon himself our sins, the wicked, abominable things that had been in our hearts, our trespasses, our iniquities, everything, oh God, that came against the plan of God, our sins. It was all laid upon Jesus Christ, and there it was. as he was bringing forth a new covenant. A new covenant. The Jewish people had broken the old covenant. It was broken. They had despised it. It was broken. If we go to Zechariah, we'll realize that it was over as far as that covenant was concerned. If we go to Zechariah, the 11th chapter, we'll see. The Lord is speaking here in Zechariah 11. If you look at verse 9, then said I will not feed you that dieth, let it die. That is to be cut off, let it be cut off. He's going to cut off that covenant. And let the rest eat, every one, the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. You know, here it was. It was at Calvary. It talks about how they weighed the prices. And that was the price that they paid for Jesus. When Judas Iscariot betrayed him, they gave him 30 pieces of silver for that betrayal. But what did that betrayal do? Yes, it put Jesus into the hands of people, of men, of an enemy, of a people that hated him. But God was going to bring forth a new covenant. Yes, the old one had been broken. That first covenant had been broken. And it was broken, it says, in that day. But you know what? It says in verse 11 here, in Zechariah 11, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. There was a people that God was going to bring forth. There was a people that waited on the Lord, that cried out for the Lord, that valued the Lord, that believed the Lord. There was something in their heart. God was going to bring forth a new covenant. A new covenant that would bring forth salvation. It would not be as the old covenant at all. Amen. But it was going to be one of great value. It was going to bring us salvation. Oh, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord broke that covenant. God Almighty broke that first covenant because they had despised it and rejected it and not lived up to it. But God brought forth a new covenant that would be in the inward parts. And he would write it inside of us so that we could be his people and he would be our God. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful opportunity. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, that covenant came forth. That beautiful covenant came forth that day of Pentecost when they were all together in one accord, in one place. Suddenly, from heaven came that rushing, mighty wind. that filled all the house where they were sitting, and it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the Lord bringing forth his new covenant. He had been with them, but he was going to be in them. And he had told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. And here it was. He was bringing it forth. He was bringing it forth so that they could live changed lives, so that they could have power over sin, so they could know the mind of Christ, so they could walk in his precepts and have that new covenant in their hearts.
Amen.
And hold it dear. And praise the Lord. The Lord brought it forth. At Pentecost, he brought it forth and put it within us so that we could keep his law, so we could be his people, so we could esteem his word. Oh, praise the Lord. We go to 2 Corinthians as I get ready to close. The 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's exactly what his first covenant people did. They embraced Baal. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? They had married strange people and accepted their concepts, their way of thinking, their idols, all of that. And verse 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord brought forth that new covenant. Yes, the first one was broken, and Jeremiah was declaring the word of the Lord, and again, warning the people. But it had been broken, and God broke it. But here's opportunity. Here as new covenant people, it says in verse 17 again, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Just as the first covenant failed, the people went into the heathen ways and embraced the unclean things. But God has given his new covenant people to also come out from among them. We can't be in sync with the people of the world.
Amen.
We can't be in agreement with them. We can't live in accord with them. Yes, we'll be as peaceful as we can and as agreeable as possible, but there is no way we can compromise with the Word of God and with the things that he has put in our hearts. And we have to separate ourselves from their ways and their evil doings. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, the things that bring forth sin, the things that bring forth evil, the concepts that are not of God, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. That was his... Oh, the wonderful, glorious opportunity for us to live above sin, above reproach. He would put his spirit in us. And so we would hear that voice speaking, as Isaiah 30 says, this is a way, walk ye in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, you hear the voice of the Lord directing your life and guiding you and leading you and helping you to know how to live. If you only listen, if you only be instructed, if you only not despise the word of God, but revere it deeply in your heart and come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, then the Lord said he would receive us and we would be his sons and daughters and he would be a father unto us. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful opportunity we have. I thank God for it. I thank God. Oh, you know, we've been grafted in that plan. If we were Gentile people, God gave us opportunity to come to them. But in spite of the evil of the first and all the brokenness of that first covenant, God made a way so that we could come to Him and be restored.
Amen.
Praise the Lord and walk in the light, even as He is the light, and have fellowship one with another. Praise the Lord. Our God is good.
Praise
the Lord. And as God took care of Jeremiah, God takes care of His people. God takes care of His people and has a plan and has a purpose. One more portion of scripture in closing, Isaiah 54. Talking about God's spiritual children here. Verse 13, Isaiah 54. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. See, just as He took care of Jeremiah, God's going to take care of His new covenant people too, His spiritual children. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Oh, yes, He's going to allow the heathen to gather together. Oh, yes, Armageddon is coming. They're all going to gather. They're all going to gather against God's people. But God's going to be with His people. He's going to be the hope of His people. And as we end this chapter, Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for what God has done. Although old Israel failed and broke that first covenant, God brought forth a way that we could inherit eternal life and be His sons and daughters. And I praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thanks again, Shirley, for another wonderful lesson on that series you're doing in Jeremiah. It's been very good. Very informative. And I really enjoy that. I love to learn. We do live in a wicked world. We do need to get ever closer to the Lord. Now I was just doing a little research, and I noticed on the computer the other day, headlines about the Grammys. Anyone hear about the Grammy Awards? Disgusting. And I had found out that Katy Perry, who is a Satanist, went up there and did an actual witchcraft ritual with fire and everything else right on the stage, and should have seen it coming. I guess I'm not real surprised after what happened with this Miley character on live TV. Not only did that happen with the witchcraft, this ritual thing going on, but This boyance did a lewd, I didn't even dare to look, but I read it. And she was doing some kind of a lewd dance thing on stage for everyone to see. What is this world coming to? That's where we're at. God's judgment's going to fall. It's going to fall hard. That kind of thing ain't going to continue. It's going to be rebuked and cast down. It's going to be destroyed.
Amen.
And that's why the Lord says, come out from among them. Don't be a partaker of that. Don't wink at it. Don't look at it. Don't desire that kind of thing, because it's all witchcraft. And it's all going to be burned in the fires of hell one day. Don't be a part of it. That's why we should go to number 71 tonight in closing. We're coming out of Babylon. Let's go there. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God had set us free with a shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, and the Lord our God has set us free, and we shout praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord in everything you do, everything you think and say. Praise God. We dismiss them to prayer. Amen.